Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. That's where my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun. So call me Pharaoh now.
Grab
that's just some food for thought. So take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green. Money
Damn.
Over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
African.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him. This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses, damn. I'm tired of all my people. See, that's niggas with no action plan.
And
I didn't choose to rap. He just fell into a backup plan. So
yeah.
Let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When he looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us? Cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers. And you can't hold us down, we hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military, college.
Welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Thursday, February the 2nd. New month already. Thursday, February the 2nd of 2017. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time reading, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we're talking about a very interesting topic. We're talking about this ideal that everyone has and don't have, which is happiness. Happiness is an interesting word, if you will. When we talk about the pursuit of happiness, today we want to look at the science, if you will, behind this pursuit of this positive mentality, if you will. So when people talk about happiness, what is it? And what makes you think you have the right to actually be happy? I mean, is that a right? Do you have the ability? That's something that you should project? Is that something that should be a part of your thinking and your repertoire? happiness? What is it? Now, it's interesting because everybody's definition of happiness is different. For years, for centuries, especially from a psychological perspective, people have always been focused on addressing, from a psychological perspective, all the negative stuff that's going on with people, and myself included, because that prevents, that limits, or that is a barrier to something that we call happiness. So most of us think that on the other side of suffering is happiness. On the other side of poverty is happiness. On the other side of sickness is happiness. On the other side of depression and ignorance is happiness. On the other side of addiction and drama and negative relationships, there has to be this thing called happiness. But unfortunately, my brothers and sisters, that is a misnomer. You see, when we look at happiness, especially from a scientific perspective, teaching towards what is it that makes people happy? What is it that makes people thrive? What is it that makes people feel alive? What is it that makes you feel alive? And what's even mind-numbing to me is that when we talk about how to rewrite your program, and we talk about the right that you have and the ability to engage in quantum thinking, what's very, very interesting to me is that happiness is a movement, your awareness of the life choices that enable your human development and your social interaction. Now, that's a mouthful. But let's break this down, this definition that I have of happiness, because you probably won't find it anywhere else. So I am endeavoring on, and I am going on a journey, and right now I've got seven people that's going on this journey with me to happiness. And what we are endeavoring to do is we're starting a movement. This movement is designed to increase our awareness. And we're going to increase our awareness about one thing. We're going to increase our awareness of our life choices. So we have choices that we make, but we make these choices and we're not aware. We're not tuned in to these life choices. So happiness is a movement to increase awareness of your life choice or choices. Now, what does that mean in English? Well, let's finish the definition before we break it down. So not only is happiness a movement to increase awareness of your life choices, it's a movement to increase the awareness that this is a spiritual, human, for lack of a better term, right. Now, let that sink in for a moment before we run past that statement. It's a movement to increase the awareness that happiness is a spiritual or human right. And happiness is a movement to increase the awareness that happiness is an enabler for the further development of human and social interaction. That's happiness. So your ability to interact with other people depends upon your ability to interact with yourself. Your ability to grow and to develop depends upon your ability to enable yourself. Your ability to understand that this is a natural God-given right for you to exist into a mental state depends on your ability to be aware that this is a God-given right that no other person, that no job, that no man, woman, you know, animal can do that for you. It's a choice. It's a life choice that you got to make. And because it is something that is self-evident, and that it is the only thing that is sustainable from a physics perspective, because love is the only thing that vibrates or oscillates again, and it is a self-imploding, it is a immortal aura of self-sustainability, happiness. Happiness is, from a physics perspective, it produces an aura, a frequency. It encapsulates you. It puts up a force field around you, a force field that is immortal, and it is perpetuating. It is self-perpetuating. It is sustainable, and it is immortal. It lasts forever, according to physics. Now, I don't know if you could really wrap your brain around the science of happiness, and from a physics perspective, means that it is something that exists outside of space, time, mass, and matter. So happiness is something that, again, allows you, my brothers and my sisters, to actually exist in a field. And it is these thoughts, these actions, and these behaviors that make you more productive. Because why? Because now there is something that is not outside of you, but it's something that is inside of you. But happiness is a movement. And that movement starts with you when you become aware. So happiness requires you to become aware that I am making choices. And today I am going to make a choice that is my God-given right, that is going to enable me to develop my own self-worth, my own self-value, my own self-esteem, my own self-knowledge, that's going to allow me to interact socially and psychologically and spiritually with others. That's happiness. Happiness is a self-evident. But you see, in order for us to really understand the true depths of what I just said, let's look at what happiness is not. See, the reason why you have not made it okay for you to be happy, and the reason why you are now in a situation financially or in a situation physically or in a situation spiritually or in a situation relationshiply, meaning that you're in a wealth, health, wisdom, or relationship place, that doesn't enable you to be a, or to develop and to grow psychologically, spiritually, and socially, which allows you to interact with yourself and others. So happiness is a movement to increase the awareness of your life's choices. Happiness is a movement to increase the awareness of your spiritual right to maintain this disposition. Happiness is a movement to increase your awareness that you must enable yourself to develop and to grow in the areas of wealth, health, wisdom, and relationships, so that way you can psychologically, spiritually, and socially interact with yourself and others. Happiness is a movement to increase awareness. That's happiness. Happiness is a movement to rewrite your programming so that way you become a single standing column of sustainable, immortal duality or energy, what we call love. That's happiness. Happiness is not, I repeat, happiness is not a feeling. Happiness is not something that you see. Everybody's in search of this feeling. That's what I did. I just went from place to place to place, and I just tried to hook up with people. I say, hey, it is your job to make me happy. Okay, I need you to do something. You need to twirl. You need to turn a flip. You need to give me money. You need to bring me some donuts. You need to do something because it's your job. See, right now I'm just not feeling. I'm just not feeling good right now. So it's your job. Or I'm not feeling it right now, so I need, what can I, know, alcohol. Nope, hey, let's go get some cocaine. Let's get some LSD. Let's go get some, maybe we need some, you know, psychotropic drug. Some kind of, something that's going to, make me feel. So we go looking, feeling, and we're chasing the white rabbit, like in the Matrix. Why? Because we're not happy. And since we're not happy, we go outside of ourselves looking. See, If you think that happiness is feeling good all the time, if you think that happiness, again, is this mood-altering, psychological, you know, hey, eating some Haagen-Dazs ice cream and you get this feeling, oh, yeah, it's going to release that dopamine and that serotonin in your body temporarily. Now, you guys know that this is only released in shots. So everything that all of the happiness drugs or chemicals inside of the body that is released, it's just like adrenaline. The body releases it, bam, that's it. So it's temporary. So how can happiness be maintained long-term if the chemical that makes you feel happy is only temporary? See, when you go around, if you were to ask people what makes their lives worth living, if I was to ask you today, what makes your life worth living? Why'd you get up today? Why are you sucking up God's good air? Why are you here? What are you trying to feel good about? What are you doing? See, everything that you're doing, you're doing it because you want to feel something. And everybody that you're talking to them, you're hanging out with them, you are in a relationship with them, you work with them, you do things with them because there's an exchange. And, you know, you are expecting them to do something. In other words, what I'm saying is there's no amount of feelings that's going to satisfy you because your expectations change all the time and your feelings are temporary because your feelings are the results of chemicals. Love is a chemical called oxytocin. If you got oxytocin, if the person that you are with does something that releases oxytocin in your bloodstream, you're in love. If they don't, you're not. So love is a chemical. But love is a little bit more than a chemical. But most of us only assume, or most of us are waiting for this chemical. So we're looking for a feeling that's not love. Love is not a feeling. Now, could you have some feelings in love or in happiness? I'm saying love and happiness as an interchangeable term, by the way. But we're talking about happiness, which again equates to, or amounts to, or has some of the same attributes and characteristics of love. But when we look at the science of happiness, happiness is not being wealthy or chasing money. See, that's what I thought. So I went out and I made money. So I thought if I make an X amount of dollars, bam, guaranteed happiness can come. And the chemicals, dopamine, serotonin, melatonin, you know, these androgens and testosterone, all of these chemicals, it's going to be just nonstop. Ching, 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 ching. Just the brain is pumping out these chemicals, dopamine, nonstop. Nah, that's not how it works, brothers. That's not how it works, sisters. So money doesn't bring you happiness. Now, I've heard people say that all the time. When people say that, I was like, yeah, that's because them fools got money. That's what I used to always say. Because I was like, I've never heard a poor person say money, you know, money can't make me happy. Because I've seen people, poor people, because I remember when I used to get my income tax. Man. Someone happy? Ooh, I was happy. Because why? I could pay my bills. So it wasn't the money, it was what the money does. It's what money allows me to do. So if I could do those things without money, if I could pay my bills with rocks, I'd be happy. If I could travel, I'd be happy. If I could take care of my children, I'd be happy. So if I could do all of the attributes and all of the characteristics that money allows me, so money is not what makes you happy, brothers. Money is not what makes you happy, sisters. It is what money allows you to do that makes you happy. And so we need to clarify that, because if money made you happy, you would make a lot of money. You would stack it up, picture of it, and you'd be happy. You just look at it. You rub it. You touch it, maybe smell it, you might even want to eat it. I don't know. But money doesn't do nothing for me. It's what I can do with that money. And so we have to make sure that we make that distinguishing difference, because the enemy hides in your ability to distinguish the difference between what money is and what money does. Because what is happiness? People have been making a mistake about what happiness is for years. Happiness is not a chemical. Happiness is not a feeling. Because if you're looking, you're searching, because if you're looking for this feeling, it's temporarily, that means that you'll never be happy because you'll be up and down. You'll be emotional. Because, again, suffering, sickness, poverty, ignorance, disease, most people, myself included, are encouraged to think that if I can get rid of these, I will be happy. When I got rid of all of those, and guess what? I still wasn't happy. So I got rid of the wealth problem, got rid of the health problems, still wasn't happy. Got rid of the wisdom problem, searched the scriptures, read up books ups and down. I've come to the conclusion, well, I have found the truth. Guess what? Still not happy. Got in a relationship, man, great relationship, figured out what was wrong with the relationship, sit down with my significant other, we talked out our problems, man, we worked out, everything is great, man, we vibing, guess what, still not happy. So what's going on? Why am I not happy when, like, I got the activities of my limbs, I'm in great health, I mean, I just came from the gym this morning, refrigerator full of food, 3 cars in the driveway, 4 kids gone, graduated, I mean, out on their own, I mean, doing great. I mean, haven't been to no funerals, nobody in my immediate family has died, no negative news, nobody's in jail, you know, I don't have no enemies, just started the new Catonomics show, I mean, program, got 7 people signed up, we get ready to blow some cookies, life is great, right? I should be happy. That's what they say. Number three, happiness is not. Number one, happiness is not a feeling. Number two, happiness ain't got nothing to do with money. Ain't got nothing to do with your health. It has nothing to do with your wisdom or lack thereof. It has nothing to do with your relationships. Contrary to popular belief. Number three, happiness is not a destination. Happiness is not somewhere that you get to. Now, you're trying to get to be happy. That's what I was always doing. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. I've always been on a journey. And then I got to that destination. I got to the end goal. I crossed the finish line. I slid in the home plate, and I heard the umpire say, safe. And I was like, yes, this is it. Happiness is going to pop me upside the head right now. Guess what? No happiness showed up. So it's not a goal. Happiness is not a goal. So now let's go back to our definition of what happiness is. Because happiness is a movement to increase awareness. Now, awareness is like perception. It's the ability to notice something that's already there. What? Thing that we have that was given to us called free will. Although it is limited, it is still free will. Happiness, my brothers and sisters, is free will. It's life choices. When that is gone in your brain, which it is, because right now you think you don't have options because the enemy has put you into a corner. He's good at painting you into a corner. Trust me. Even when you think you're not in a corner, you're in a corner. How do you know you're in a corner? Do what you really want to do. You can't. You're paralyzed. You can't. Well, I can't. See, happiness is the ability to make an expression of your heart. See, people who have close friends, like real friends, that doesn't really matter what you do or say, they're still your friend. It's unconditional. People who are engaged in activities that is not goal-oriented, doesn't matter. Like, I work out, but I don't work out for a goal. I'm not trying to increase muscle mass. I'm not trying to increase the amount of weights. I'm not trying to increase my, my 40 time. I'm not trying to increase how much I bench press. I'm not trying to lower my, reduce. I'm not trying to get no six-pack. I'm not trying to get taller, shorter. I exercise because I enjoy it. Happiness is a life choice that is unconditional that you enjoy. Happiness is the ability to perceive that choice. Happiness is the ability to increase your awareness, to see that you have limited free will. That means I have a certain amount of movement or freedom within my space that God has gave me. Happiness is the understanding that this is my spiritual right. This is my human right. What is it? Brothers and sisters, this is really important. Happiness is for you to understand that you have the right to exercise free will. Now, that sounds like common sense, but a lot of people don't think that. You can go talk to most women in a marriage. They don't have free will. They say, well, Lord, let me take my husband. I had this one lady who wanted to be a part of the program. She talked with the husband, and the husband said no. Now, they have her own money. She just ran about her husband, and the husband says no. And she said, why? And the husband says, well, I just don't like that guy. Or, I don't want you spending your money there. Yeah, honey, but it's my money. I got a job. It doesn't, you know, this is my set aside money that I've set aside for my own self, and she uses it to do this, that, and that. And we, you know, talked, and we got some one-on-ones and have been working with her in the past. And she was very optimistic about being a part of the program until she found out that she don't have free will. She don't have the ability to make. Now, remember, the definition of happiness. We're going to go a little bit further. But the definition of happiness, again, is the ability that I am totally aware that I can make choices. And these choices are going to enable me to develop and grow in the areas of wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship. So if I'm making a choice and it doesn't enable, it disables. See, most choices that you make are disabling you. Happiness is the choices that you make that enable you. Let me make sure you understand. See, right now you're making choices, but you're not understanding that these choices are disabling you in the four areas of wealth, health, wisdom, and relationships. It's not allowing you to develop. It's not allowing you to grow. So you're making choices. You've got free will, but those choices are not taking you in the direction of your goal. It's not taking you, and it's not allowing you to be and fall in love with your role. But let's go further down the rabbit trail, because this ideal of happiness goes deep. See, happiness is not a feeling. We got that. Happiness, again, is not a destination. We got that. Happiness has nothing to do with the four areas of wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship. Happiness is actually a mental disposition. Happiness, again, is a combination of making life choices and decisions, or at least being aware that you have the option. Let me put it that way. Because sometimes you don't have to make the decision. Sometimes it's realizing that I have the option. Happiness is having the option to make your own choices that affect your life on a daily basis. And happiness is your day-to-day, moment-to-moment, second by second, genetically determined, and this is another word, genetically determined moments. Happiness, again, is the quality day-to-day actions. Now, let's go a little bit further down the rabbit trail, brothers, because, again, this is really important, because when you understand the definition of happiness, now you've got to ask yourself, why haven't you given yourself the right to be happy? Now, I remember the first time, this was a while back, and I did a show about it. And my sister told me, you have the right to be happy. And I just broke down and just started crying. And I don't know why it was so overwhelming. I don't know why it was so emotional. I was just, you know, it wasn't really big. It was just, you know. And she didn't say anything else. She just says that you have the right to be happy. See, I've always made other people happy. See, I'm a six. Life past six, we get our payout. We love giving. I love giving. I love helping other people. But I didn't know that I'm not supposed to help people at the expense of my own self. See, I didn't have a cutoff in my giving. So I didn't care if the fact that if I was loving other people but I was hurting myself, as long as other people was happy, I was happy because they was happy. I was happy watching other people be happy, but I wasn't happy. But I thought that was happiness. See, how do you know you're not happy? Like, how do you know that you're happy? And how did you know that you're not happy? Unless you define the terms. Like, if you don't know that, and if you've never experienced unhappiness, how do you know what happiness is? If you've never experienced darkness, how do you know what the light is? If you've never experienced poverty, how do you know what wealth is? How do you know? So if I tell you, I mean, we can go over to Africa in some of these villages where, you know, the number of wives, the size of your lip, and the number of goats, that determines, you know, wealth. But if we take that African or rainforest in Brazil or some indigenous, maybe somebody from the Aborigines over in Australia, and if we brought them over to the modern age and we dropped them off in, you know, Atlanta, Georgia, or New York, San Francisco, Dallas, Texas, if we dropped them off in some industrialized major American city with their goats, their three wives, and their, you know, how happy would they be? You see, brothers and sisters, you have to realize your potential for lasting fulfillment is encapsulated in you discovering your strengths. See, authentic happiness lies in the fact that there are certain strengths that are so natural to you that you probably don't even consider them strengths. Right now, as I'm talking to you, you have certain unique strengths and attributes and characteristics and virtues. And these strengths, these characteristics, these virtues are given to you by your Creator. They are inalienable rights. The government and nobody else can give you those rights. Those are given to you for the purpose of you fulfilling your own happiness, because it's found in the fact that when you are vibrating in your signature strength, that's when you become authentically happy. Because now, my brother, now, my sister, your strength, your characteristic, your virtue, your path, that means you're oscillating and you're vibrating. You're a single standing column of wave form energy. That means that now you are able to enable you, your qualities, your strengths, they enable you to perform you, instead of disabling you to harm you. So when you go outside yourself to look for someone else to enable you, you are arming you. You're putting your strengths, your characteristics on the shelf in exchange for somebody else's. And now you are codependent. And they enable you, and you code both y'all. It's a self-perpetuating negative habit pattern. That's how most relationships are. The two people that are codependent. Nobody is enabling anybody. Both people are, basically both people are disabling each other. So it is this ability to understand your strength, your characteristics, your virtue. That's all of these found by investigating and understanding, again, your Dear Kinney report, and how from a psychological perspective, your life, again, you are self-sustaining. You have the ability, again, to be and to take care of yourself. You are a life-sustaining system. You have this ability. You're born with it. It's inalienable. Nobody can take it. And so this requires something else, though. Happiness is a state. It's an optimism. It is an optimistic trait. Happiness is this attitude of gratitude. Happiness is this optimism about your gifts and about your talents. This is the science of happiness. See, happiness is the ability to identify your traits, your talents, your skills, and you look at them so much, you become optimistic because your future looks bright, because you're pessimistic. I've never met somebody who understands their worth and their value who was pessimistic. It was always optimistic. The glass was always half full. Their gifts and their talents open up the doorway that says, there's a way to improve my situation. Now, they don't have this, they don't know, but their gifts, their talents, their skill set, because of my past successes, see, I can go back in my past and I can remember. I was up against a corner, I figured it out. I remember. I didn't know how to do this, I figured it out. I remember. I didn't have no job, and I figured it out. See, your talents and your skills that you fall in love with, that you spend time analyzing through watching TV, you're reading about your own skills, your own talents, your own. And then this allows you to be less stressed. It allows you to be less depressed. It allows you to go to a place where now you are reacting to problems with a sense of confidence. And you have a high personal ability because it's based upon the fact that you understand your gifts and your talents that I call dear Kneel. See, optimistic people believe that negative events are temporary. People who have purpose-based mentality, people who understand cladonomics, people who are doing what we are doing right now, people who understand that, they believe. In fact, they get to my level and they don't believe no more. They know. See, I know that negative events are temporary. I know that nothing lasts forever. I know that this limited invasion of my personal space is manageable. I know it. I know that whatever comes, I know. Just this morning something happened just rocked my world, but I know. And look, that's what I said. At first it hit me, and I was like, oh, man, this can't be, like, happening. And actually it was last night, right before I was getting ready to do my show. And I had to push back the start time of the orientation class. I was all excited. Had my seven people all signed up. We were ready to go. And then, bam. And I kind of knew, and I laughed at first, and I was like, you got to be kidding. Like right before the show. So I was supposed to do a show at 8, had to move it back to 9 because I had to deal with this issue. And then it was like, it didn't go away. It, like, got amped up. Why? I've been posting out on Facebook. I've been telling everybody, don't react to nothing unless you're going to take action. So so guess what happens? When you say something out your mouth, guess who's going to be the first one to get tested? You. So you might not. If I'm over giving y'all all this advice, guess who has to live this advice? Me. So I'm talking about, oh, yeah, next level thinking, quantum thinking. Oh, yeah, blowing cookies. And everybody's going to be wealthy, healthy, wise, and in great relationships. I'm saying all of this stuff, right? Guess what happens? I'm getting attacked. Why? That's how you prove to yourself that the shizness that you're selling is true. And so it hit me, and I thought about, hey, what would I tell one of my clients if I was talking to them? So I need to apply my own thinking. So that's what I did. So I told myself, you know what, self? Let's put on some music. Let's look at this thing, and let's go back. And let's remember when your back was up against the wall previously, what did you do? And I thought about it, and I got a little confident. And then I got some high esteem, not self-esteem. I got high esteem. That means I went to my highest possible level of esteem. And then I looked at this issue, and I realized it was temporary. I realized that it was very limited. I realized that it was just invading my mental space. I realized that it was totally manageable. I realized that it wasn't going to take my joy. I realized it was not going to have no effect on my psychological state. It wasn't going to affect how I oscillated and vibrated. I wasn't going to react to it. I wasn't going to allow this to lower my optimism to a point of view. I refuse to respond to it. Now, it ain't going away. It's still out there, probably outside right now, knocking on the door, waiting, still trying to get my attention. Still jumping up and down and screaming, hey, Brother Will, give me your attention, brother. Give me your attention. But what I'm putting all of my attention on right now, I'm putting my attention on my potential for lasting fulfillment, meaning I got strengths, brothers. I got talents. I got skills. God has blessed me with something that he's blessed you with. That is You are on a spiritual path called your life path. Now, it requires you to do some things. It requires you to have some faith. It requires you to meditate, prayer, to be a part of a support system or a support group, which is what we got going on. It requires you to develop some friendships, and it requires you to do something called make a commitment to yourself and to your path, your life path. You see, when you make this commitment to practice your path, you become happier. Why? Because when you commit to the path commits to you. To the degree that you commit to the path is the degree that the path commits to you. Now, I'm not talking about joining no cult or no particular church. You can do that too. But I'm talking about you investing in you. You see, my brothers and sisters, something spiritually profound happens when you engage in the meditative act of meditating on yourself and your characteristic. This is called a sacred moment. Every day I think about my strengths and my talents and my skills. Every day. Every day I search for meaning, purpose, and connectivity. In other words, I look for the intrinsic self-embedded. I'm not talking about no learned trait or skill. This is a self-embedded skill that I have, and that is what I'm doing right now. And so I am committed to this, to doing what I'm doing right now, regardless of how much, how many people join. I wanted 25 people. I got 7. I want to talk to these 7 people like I'm talking to 5,000. I'm bringing the same amount of energy. I'm bringing the same amount of compassion because guess what? It's not about the people and the numbers. It's about the path. It's about I am looking at the effect on the mental well-being of the 7 people that I am engaged with for 2017. And I am interested in taking them to higher levels of happiness and mental well-being by identifying those things that are obstacles to their mental health. This means that their mental disposition and my mental disposition is going to be totally transformed because we are totally immersed and involved in the patterns that bring about change. Patterns, my brothers and sisters, that bring about change, they are not feelings. They go above and beyond because feelings come from thoughts. It's your thoughts that control your feelings, and it's your feelings that control your actions. So I don't focus on what you feel. I focus on what you think. And by changing how you think, and so that way you think thoughts that you've never thought before. That way you can feel feelings that you never felt before. That way, therefore, you can do things that you've never done before. That's happiness. Happiness, my brothers and my sisters, again, my definition of happiness is a movement to increase your awareness, which is your thought process, of what? Your options. See, right now, there's certain options that you're not aware of, so you don't even thinking about it. The thought haven't even crossed your mind. Because, again, it's outside of the box. Therefore, happiness is eluding you because of your awareness of the choices that are being presented to you. Now, if I don't even know I have the choice to do something, how can I make the decision to do something? It's not even an option. Notice that option, I always talk about option C, and it's not even on the table. You got to choose between good and evil. Option C, the choice of having, again, eternal life, a happy life, not even an option. So we got to go off the table to find happiness because happiness is off the globe. Now, let me make sure you understand what I'm saying, my brothers and sisters, because when we talk about your thoughts, your actions, and your behaviors, they make you productive or unproductive. The more productive you are, the happier you are. So we cannot ignore productivity, especially purpose-based productivity, because it increases your optimism, it increases your resiliency, it allows you to be more engaged, and it releases more dopamine and serotonin. Not that we're into just the chemical aspect of it, but it is a part of it, because the definition again, of happiness is increased awareness, consciousness. For 20 years, I've been calling it Christ consciousness. That's happiness. Happiness is a decision to increase my consciousness about what? Christ. What is Christ? The messianic office that furnishes the one in that office with the power to fulfill that office. When you make a decision to get inside of your messianic office, you get power to fulfill that office. When you get that power and you think about that power, you look at that power, then you use that power again, you see that this is a right. You don't have to do nothing. It was given to me. What did I do to learn how to do didactic teaching? I didn't do nothing. I just woke up. And then I increased my awareness. And when I increased my awareness, notice what I did, brothers. Notice what I did to be successful, to be happy. Because remember, I went, made money, wasn't happy. Got in shape, got more attention, but wasn't happy. Ooh, I read a whole bunch of books, wrote some too. I found the truth, not a version of it. Still wasn't happy. Divorced my first wife, met my second wife, married her, still wasn't happy. Why? Why wasn't I happy when I had all this stuff? Because I wasn't fulfilling my purpose. You see, my brothers and sisters, happiness comes from doing the thing that you've been designed to do. Now, I don't know about you, but I remember watching this video of this dairy cow. It was on Facebook. This dairy cow had never been in a green pasture. The dairy cow had always been enclosed in a metal building. This dairy cow lived its entire life hooked up to a machine, been artificially inseminated, so that way the body of the cow was thinking it was pregnant, it could produce milk for I don't know how long it had been in this cage, 5, 10, 15, 20 years. This cow never, ever, ever seen or did what it was designed by God to do. This dairy cow lived its entire life in a barn, had machines hooked up to its udder 24/7, 365. One of the udders had to be cut off. It was bleeding. It was this dairy cow, because it was no longer fit, this dairy cow, they were going to send it out so that way it become your lunch meat. And some organization came in and they brought this dairy cow. They adopted and they took this cow to a pasture and they let this cow out. I have never in my life seen what I saw, the happiness. I did not know animals could display it to that level. This cow was jumping, it was kicking, it was tossing up and down. This dairy cow, who spent its entire life inside of a metal barn, been hooked up, having its artificially assimilated so it can produce milk 24/7, this dairy cow was exhibiting happiness. But was the dairy cow happy because it was wealthy? Was the dairy cow happy because it was healthy? Was the dairy cow happy because of the fact that it had some great knowledge? No. The dairy cow was happy because the dairy cow finally got a chance to do what it was designed to do. Happiness is the result of doing what you are designed by your creator, whoever he, she, it may be for you. Happiness is when you are oscillating and you are vibrating according to your God-given design, my brother, my sister. There is no amount of money. There's no amount of health. There's no amount of women. There's no amount of wisdom. There's no amount of nothing that's going to make you more in tuned than doing and being and having what your creator has innately placed inside of your DNA. I'm not talking about no skill. I'm not talking about no talent that you went to school for. I'm not talking about something that you picked up from your environment. I'm talking about your God-given design, brother, your God-given design. When you find that, like what I'm teaching right now, what I'm doing right now, Remember how that part of mine I was telling you about? I totally forgot about it. When I'm doing these shows, I am on cloud quadzipado. My body is releasing dopamine, serotonin, melatonin, and every other happy chemical that there is. Oxytocin is just flooding. I feel like I don't know what it feels like to be high. I've never been high. I've never been drunk. I don't know what it feels like to be on psychotropic drugs. I never did that stuff. But from what people tell me, that's what I feel right now. I have this feeling of euphoria. That's why the show, the hour goes by and I'm still talking. And you guys be like, man, I wish this fool would hurry up. I got to go to work. But see, when I'm in my purpose, when I'm in my lane, when I'm in my gift, you know, when Michael Jordan in his heyday, when you ever see Michael Jordan in the zone, you ever see they got the runners high. You ever, you know, when you get in the zone, you ever see Stephen Curry when he in the zone? It's like he don't even look at the basket. He just throw the ball up and just go in anywhere on the court. When you see a great athlete in the zone, that means, brother, sister, you are watching happiness being exuded. And guess what? You deserve to be happy. Now, like my sister, when the first time she told me this, and I cried like a baby. I cried. Every time I think about it, even now I get choked up. Because there was something inside of me that told me I didn't deserve it. And there's something inside of you that's telling you that. That's why you're not pursuing it. You're not pursuing your God-given design with reckless abandon. It is the most, is more important than anything on earth, brother. Purpose. Because where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. The reason that you are allowing people to abuse yourself and the reason that you are abusing others is because you don't have purpose in your life. Because when purpose comes into your life, it elevates you. It destroys. It doesn't allow you. Nobody can disrespect you anymore. Nobody can disrespect me anymore. And it's sad because all of the people that was in my circle was in my circle because they were codependent. I was needing help. They was providing help. Either I was codependent or I was the enabler. Either I was enabling them to be dependent upon me or they was enabling me to be dependent upon them. And since I've changed, guess what happened? People are dropping like flies. All because of one thing. All I did was fall in love with my purpose. Now, I've known my purpose for years, but guess what happened? I never studied my purpose. Never. I knew what it was. I knew I was gifted. It came so easy to me, so I never studied it. I never mastered it. Self-mastery is happiness, brother. Self-mastery is happiness. Now, you're spending all your time helping other people. That's great. Knock yourself out. But you're going to be a doormat, just like I was. 50-plus years spending my life helping other people while I'm drowning myself. And then I wake up and I'm wondering why. For somebody to walk up to me and tell me you deserve to be happy and for me to break down and just start crying and sobbing like I was a 3-year-old kid, I knew something was off. I knew something was wrong. And I had to examine and find out, why did that statement have such a huge effect on me? Why? And then my definition of happiness was shattered for my 16-year-old daughter. You see, brothers and sisters, you could be in a place right now that you think is happiness, but it's not. You've been tolerated. You're not being elevated. And the way that you know, stop doing the things that the people around you tolerating you for. I'm not talking about go to work and stop working. That is obvious. I am talking about doing those things that are allowing people to disrespect you. See, if you're a giver, sometimes, for example, I would wash dishes for my brothers and sisters when I was a kid because I like help. But the moment I stopped washing dishes for them,
all of a sudden, I wasn't the cool brother anymore. All of a sudden, they changed. Now, I'm going way back. I'm trying to find an example. But what I'm saying is that when you go above and beyond what you've been doing, and you decide that, you know what, I'm going to spend that time and that energy and that money on doing something that I like to do, yeah, try it. Go to your church, stop tithing. Now, why did they take, when I was licensed in the ordained minister, why was I kicked out of the church? Because I did exactly that. See, I was there every day. I was over the drama department. I was over the sound department. I was over the youth department. I was at church 5 out of 7 days. I was giving way above my tithes and my offering. I was working 3 jobs, and I never saw my family. And I decided I wanted to go to school, spend a little bit more time with my family. I got called into the pastor's office, and they said, we noticed we haven't been seeing you as much as we used to. I said, Pastor, I want to spend time with my grandmother. She's getting up in age. My grandmother lived down in Katy, down in Houston area. I was in San Antonio, so I was driving down on the weekend to see my grandmother, who was elderly and only had a certain amount of time. And the pastor said, you know, the scripture said, let the dead bury the dead. God has called you to be here. Spend time with my grandmother. Well, we noticed that you're tithe. Stop tithing. And as a leader in the church, you know, you got to set the example. So why you stop tithing? I said, well, Pastor, you know, money's a little tight. I need to take care of some bills, blah, blah, blah. He said, well, brother, you know, as a part of leadership, you know, we need you to be here. We need you to be tied. And if you can't do those things, we need you to step down. I can't even begin to tell you how I felt. It took me a year. That's why I left the state of Texas and moved to the state of New Mexico. I actually had to get out of the entire state because I was a religious idiot. I didn't even zealot bullet for that dude. And for him to dismiss me after the, man, I can't tell you how much money I gave. And also that I did. Nobody put a gun to my head. And I thought I was happy. I was being tolerated. I was not being elevated. There's a big difference between the two. And now that I understand that difference, I no longer will allow myself to be tolerated by anybody. By anything. When I come to the table, I'm bringing word and I'm bringing value to the table. So do you. I respect you. I expect great things from you. I expect you to hold me accountable. I'm going to hold you accountable and hold you to those same high standards as well. Because brothers and sisters, you are royal priests. You're a holy nation. You made it the image and likeness of the God of gods. You can walk, you can tread upon snakes and scorpions and all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by no means harm you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a biological, electrical, chemical mastermind. Science is just now starting to scratch the surface of the human potential, which is really the spiritual potential. Let me close with Psalms 19, verse 4. Psalms 19, verse 4 says, there is a line that has gone out throughout all of the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them has he set a tabernacle for the S-U-N, the sun. Brothers and sisters, there is a line. There's circuits in your brain that carry this line, this information. These circuits are connected to the cosmos, and inside of these circuits, there is great light. There is great light that lights you up, that it connects you to the tabernacle of the sun. The universe, the structure of the human brain, and the structure of the universe is identical. Are the universe. Act like it. That's happiness. Happiness is vibrating the way that the Creator has designed you to vibrate. My brothers and my sisters, we are out of time. I want to thank everybody so much for joining me on today's show. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May the sun bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now. But no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. That's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle and seize. Firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn with something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the pot. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You going us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1-2-1-2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. A 1-2-1-2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Yeah.